Hey guys, this is Rick Godwin, pastor of Summit Church here in San Antonio. Thanks for joining us today. You know, we're excited to have you on our podcast. Our goal is to inspire you and to challenge you and help everyone realize their full potential in Christ. Now enjoy the message.
We're going to talk today about dealing with toxic people. Toxic people. Characteristics of them and how you deal with them. This is pretty tough, so hang in there. It's about relationships. You know, today there's been a number of what we would call relational breakups, breakdown moments. We watch them on videos that are spread virally across the country on social media from people not behaving at their best. Ever seen those videos? Maybe on a plane or maybe even in a restaurant. Maybe you've seen this one at a Golden Corral restaurant. Somebody thought in this particular restaurant that the endless buffet wasn't so endless. So they think they're going to run out of something. So they broke in line, which instigated a kind of an argument, which led to a bigger argument, which led to a fight between 40 people in this restaurant. Kicking, screaming, yelling, punching, cussing. Watch the video.
Beef over a piece of steak turns into this huge brawl involving 40 people at a Golden Corral in Pennsylvania. This cell phone video shows punches being thrown, chairs being tossed around. Witnesses say the mayhem began when a man got upset because the person in line behind him got his steak first. The kitchen staff tried to explain why one steak can take longer to cook than another. The man didn't get it, and this was the result. Fortunately, the restaurant says everybody walked away with just cuts and bruises.
Wow. Nice evening out with the family. You can just Google Golden Corral and you'll get the full story. You won't get the menu, but you're going to get a fight. You'll see people attacking each other and acting like a child and throwing a kid's chair at somebody. So all of that to say this, boy, do we need prayer in this country because things are getting really loose, you know? And to say that is that people have really reached their breaking point. Yeah, many of you maybe have reached your boiling point. Maybe you didn't lose it in a restaurant, but you lost it with somebody in the family or somebody you care about. You know, it's where you feel like you're worn out, you're burned out, and it's causing some impact in the lives of people you care about the most. So today, we're actually going to talk about something that, yeah, I wish we didn't have to mention, but it's part of real life. We're talking about toxic people and what to do about them. In fact, I wanted to start off, look at the screen, with a list of all the toxic people here at Summit. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But the reality is, we all have somebody in our lives who's toxic, or you will someday. And when I say toxic, I don't mean a difficult person. That's not toxic. You know, difficult people, challenging people are actually good for us in a way. In fact, they often help us to grow. That's a fact. That's why God invented toddlers, right? So we would learn patience in those moments you want to throw a chair through a window. God actually brings difficult people into your life, and there's often a really good reason for it. And the idea of a toxic person is not the same as somebody who's hard to love. That's not toxic, because we all have people in our lives that can be hard to love. Maybe because of the way they live. Maybe it's because of what they believe. Maybe there's something about them that offends you. Maybe they're on the other end of the political spectrum from you. But here's the thing. That does not mean that they're toxic. It just means you don't like them, or you disagree with them, or they offend you in some way. So when I say toxic people, I mean people who are continually belligerent, lying, manipulating, and blaming all the time. Constantly. I'm talking about that relationship in your life that you spent hours over the course, maybe years, pouring into, investing and praying for, trying to improve it, but that friend or spouse is still manipulative and lying and blaming. That family member still won't listen. That spouse is still unwilling, unremorseful. See, a toxic person is someone whose character or behavior poisons a relationship in such a way it makes them impossible to trust and sometimes even unsafe to be around. And here's why we talk about it. Some of you grew up in a home with someone like this. Some of you are friends with, or you work with, or you've got a boss who's something like this. Some of you have dated someone like this. Maybe you got married to somebody like this. You didn't intend to make that choice. You didn't know that, but boy, you found out. I'm not sure you're thinking to yourself, I'm not sure I can even trust this person. And here's the thing. Those of you who have been there, you know when you're in that situation, it's difficult, it's disorienting, it's painful. You feel like you're walking on eggshells every day. You're not sure how they're going to respond. You can't ever really just be vulnerable and be yourself and maybe entrust yourself to this person. Sometimes the toxic people are in places like the church. And at some point, we're going to run into or be in a situation or relationship with someone whose character or behavior has become toxic. And the question for this morning, pretty simple. What do you do? What do you actually do? How do you navigate that? Do you just keep trying and praying and working at it forever? Do you remove yourself from that relationship? Like Jesus says, to love your neighbor, love people, love your enemy. Do I just have to stick it out and experience the abuse? Do I have to be responsible for their behavior? Is there ever a time to walk away from a relationship or let go of a relationship where you've been fighting for it that hasn't been at all receptive to any suggestion or effort? Well, we're going to be looking at the story from the life of one of the most toxic people in the Bible, and the guy is named King Saul. Now, if you don't know any of the story, what you need to know is King Saul was not meant to be one of the bad guys. He's not supposed to be one of the toxic guys. He was supposed to be one of the good guys. God chose him to be king over Israel, Israel's very first king. But later, he kind of fell into these toxic patterns of behavior that we're going to look at. And some of you today, particularly in regard to this other leader in his life, is a guy named David. He's extremely jealous of David. And Saul is on the run to chase down, hunt down, and kill this guy, David. So David's kind of on the run from him. And by the way, that's kind of a giveaway for toxic people. They're actually trying to kill you, to break you, to control you. But as broken as Saul's life became, he actually can help us learn how to identify and recognize toxic patterns of behavior. So you pay attention, adults. You may have a young daughter who will soon be in dating age, and you want to be able to help them navigate this kind of a situation or relationship. And then in this story, we're going to see some practical guidelines for what do you do about a toxic relationship. So in 1 Samuel chapter 22, starting in verse 6, it says, "Now Saul, who's been looking for David, searching for him, heard that David and his men had been discovered. And Saul was seated, spear in his hand," just remember that quote for a moment, "spear in hand, under the tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah. There was all of his officials standing at his side. He said to them, 'Listen, men of Benjamin.'" Now I'm going to inject a little sarcasm here because this would be King Saul talking. "Will the son of Jesse give all of you fields and vineyards? Oh, woe is me. Will he make all of you commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds? Is that why you have all conspired against moi? Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me." Now, I know that's not in the text, but you can hear the tone of those questions, right? "No one tells me when my son," that's Jonathan, "makes a covenant with the son of Jesse," that's David. "None of you is concerned about moi or tells me that my son has incited my servant to lie and wait for me as he does today." Now that's Saul's little spiel. But Doeg, the Edomite, was standing with Saul's official. And he said, "I saw David, the son of Jesse, come to this guy named Ahimelech, who was a priest in another region, another county." And so Saul calls the priest in and he says, "I want to talk to you about what you were doing there with David." And this is what Saul says to Ahimelech. He says, "Why have you conspired against me? you and David, the son of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that David has rebelled against me and now lies in wait for me as he does today. So he's accusing Ahimelech of this very thing he's accusing David of. And Ahimelech says, I didn't do that. I had no part in that. But when he defends himself, look at how Saul responds. He says, you will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your whole family. And then Saul orders some guards standing by to go out and execute this order, which, thank God, they don't do. But then Doeg, the Edomite, who's been standing there, our little friend, he actually goes and does it. He goes out and takes care of Ahimelech and his whole family and destroys their whole town. I mean, he went overboard. Now, if you had to create an online dating profile for Saul, it's going to look like some things that I'm going to share that follow. Saul is exceedingly jealous. This whole story is built around his envy and his compulsion about David, because he's worried David's got a bigger church than him. David's doing better than he is, which, of course, is a sign that he's very self-absorbed and narcissistic. Now, remember that detail about him having a spear in his hand? Think of that for a moment. He's sitting under the shade of a tree, surrounded by his guards. He's not in danger. There's no threat to his life, and he's holding onto a spear. Why? Because he wants you to know, I'm the man. I'm Saul. I'm the most powerful person in the room. Look at me. Focus on me. Totally self-absorbed. Everything revolves around Saul. And that's true with toxic people. Toxic people care about one person, and it ain't you. It's them. That's the only person they care about. See, and of course, as you know, there are a lot of people who did care about Saul. And as you heard in my tone of voice, Saul was very passive aggressive. Why are you all supporting David? Like, why are you all doing that? He doesn't ask you, are you on David's side? He doesn't go direct. He just speaks passively aggressively. He's very manipulative. None of you are concerned about me. Not actually true. He spins the truth here. None of you are telling me that David's plotting to kill me. David's not plotting to kill him. Never was. Never did. He's also spinning the truth. See, people who are toxic will twist the truth. They'll spin the truth to try to keep you under control. It happens in the military. It happens in politics. It happens with leaders in churches. It happens in certain businesses. And God help you if you're under one of them. He's quick to blame. He finds this priest Ahimelech, he blames him. And when Ahimelech's like, hey, I didn't do anything, he escalates the conflict. He takes it from a 2 up to a 10. He threatens his family. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your whole family. And he demands loyalty. Guards, go do this. And of course, when they don't, our friend Doeg the Edomite, he'll do it. And he does it, and with toxic people, it's like they always make you pick a side, don't they? There's no neutral. It's like you're on my side or you're out. And of course, when Doeg goes out and does this horrible thing, what does Saul do? He doesn't critique him. He doesn't say, hey, you went way past my command. He feels no remorse, no sadness at all. And by the way, with toxic people, when they do apologize, they're not saying they're sorry because they feel remorse. They're sorry they got caught. They're sorry there are consequences. They feel sorry the circumstances are worse for them. So Saul lacks remorse. And of course, all through the story, he's unwilling to listen. And that might be the biggest red flag of all. It's a character trait throughout his life and with all toxic people. They're unwilling to listen. Saul's unwilling to listen to God. He won't listen to the prophet Samuel. He won't even listen to his own son, Jonathan. He won't listen at all. Now, folks, listen. This list is really a great way to identify and recognize a toxic person in your life. And I'm not just saying they have one or two of these, because some of you are thinking, oh my gosh, I'm calling somebody today because I saw them be passive aggressive. No, no. You're going to have one or two of these on your worst day on an occasion. It's normal. See, we all have those days, right? It's not just me. Maybe you're all doing perfect. Well, you're dismissed to go home. You're fine. You don't need this message at all. At least I've had days where there will be true for me one or two of these, but that's rare and it's not often. But a toxic person has all of them all the time, and it keeps getting worse the longer it goes. And they have these characteristics in such a way, it makes a relationship with them basically impossible. Impossible. You can't be in a relationship with someone who's like this. And some of you have tried, and maybe you're trying right now. Could be with a family member, a friend, someone you're dating, could be your spouse. So what do you do? How do you respond to somebody like that? Well, the first thing isn't something we have to go and do. It's actually something we need to stop doing. Because when it comes to toxic relationships or toxic situation, there's a few really common mistakes that all of us can make navigating through these difficult people and difficult situations. First, we tend to overlook it. See, the first one that happens around toxic people is we often just tend to overlook it. Like, it's complicated. It's difficult. I'm not sure what to do or say. I feel like it's a little bit risky. I'm nervous. So we just kind of overlook it. And remember with Saul, he wasn't just a toxic leader. He was an attractive, charismatic, powerful, compelling leader. That has to be true. See, people wanted him to succeed. They were invested in his success. In fact, when he was anointed as king, the text says that he was a handsome young man, such as could be found anywhere in Israel. People like to look up to that kind of a guy. And he was a head taller than anybody else. He was powerful. He was domineering. And people wanted him to be their leader, which raises a really important principle when it comes to how we overlook toxic people. And that's this. The more gifted they are, the more attractive they are, the more charismatic a person is, the more likely you are to overlook toxic behavior and not do anything about it. And that's why we're talking about toxic patterns of behavior. And by the way, this is true today in dating relationships. People going back to the same person over and over, even after their toxic behavior, because they're attracted to them and not sure what to do with life without them. It happens in families. People make excuses for people's bad behavior, a family member, because they're related to them. They love them. So it happens in workplaces. Oh, and guess where else it happens? Yeah, it happens in churches too. Yeah, some of you have been part of a church with toxic leadership. And here's the thing, it's incredibly damaging. I just want to kind of pause and camp here for a moment because it's been such a prevalent thing to see church leaders right now across this country, their cultures kind of fall into these terrible toxic patterns. We've watched major long-term ministries that were handsome, successful, powerful, anointed, but nobody could say no. Nobody could challenge the behavior, even sexual abuse. And because they were powerful and anointed and handsome, they just empowered it. They just looked the other way. They just overlooked it. Because the more power or the more money or the more influence or the more charisma you have or that you've been given, the more likely it is for people to overlook your toxic patterns of behavior. So, you know, our elder board's main job isn't to monitor how well my sermons go. That's not their job. Their job is to monitor my health as a person spiritually. They're not worried about how this sermon goes or doesn't go. They're worried about how's Rick doing? How's Cindy doing? How's their marriage doing? How's his character doing? Because we've seen leader after leader in the church, in the marketplace, in politics fall. And it's not because those leaders set out to be toxic people. Nobody sets out to become a toxic person, I don't think. Saul, in his first response when he was going to be told he's going to be king, said, I shouldn't be king. I come from the wrong tribe. I'm not the right kind of guy. It shouldn't be me. That was his start. But as the years went by, he started to become more entitled and the kind of person he probably never imagined he would be. Because of his charisma, his charm, people were willing to overlook his behavior. So just a question for you and me, as you think about the people in your mind right now on that subject, what are you willingly overlooking right now? In business, a boss, a leader in a church movement. What is it you're overlooking, even in your marriage or with the children or with a friend? The second thing is we enable it. We enable toxic behavior. As you think about that, another mistake we make with toxic people or toxic relationships, we actually enable it. Our good friend Doeg, the Edomite, he didn't cause Saul to behave the way Saul did, but he enabled it. He supported it. And here's the thing. Most toxic people have someone close around them or multiple people close around them that are enabling them in some way. It happens in relationships when a spouse will enable the irresponsible behavior or other behaviors of their spouse. Parents can do that even with their children. They will enable them by maybe avoiding the consequences of decisions that they don't want to have to deal with. So they almost enable that behavior and bring it on. And when it comes to toxic people, someone is almost always enabling part of it. So I've had a few guys I knew in the ministry out there, and the people in leadership just looked the other way. There were accusations of inappropriate behavior with women. There were accusations about how nobody could say what he could do, wouldn't do, misusing the money. All that went on, and nobody said anything. So would you say they're enabling it? Well, yeah, and all we read about is the fall. But you didn't read about the years where they just kept enabling this thing. It's going to crash and burn. It's not if, it's just when. So question is, as you think about these kind of situations, are you in some way enabling that toxic behavior? Third thing is we try to change it, which leads to another mistake we often make around toxic people. We try to change them. I know it sounds counterintuitive because, you know, we're supposed to change people. I mean, that's kind of what we want to do. We want to change them, help them, grow them, call bad behavior out, so we want to work real hard to try to change them. But here's the thing. It is almost impossible to change a toxic person. That's what makes them toxic. They are not interested remotely in changing. And here's the real risk. When you're around them, they don't change. Guess who changes? You do. See, kind of a way I like to think about it is, it's kind of like food coloring and a cup of water. If you think about that, here's some food coloring, that's the toxic person, and a glass of water. Here's a picture of on the screen. And you just trying to be a good person, you want to change the toxic person. But when you mix these two together, what happens? They start to look the same. You get frustrated, you become impatient, you become angry, you feel hurt. And as the old saying goes, hurt people hurt people. And so this pattern continues and continues and continues. Even when we want to change, it's so hard, almost impossible to actually change a toxic person. So what do you do? Like, we can't overlook it. If we shouldn't enable it, if we can't really change it, what do we actually do? Well, those of you who have a King Saul in your life, you know that these are complicated, delicate, you know, and maybe case-by-case situations that can be nearly impossible to navigate. Well, I hear that. I've been exposed to that. I know that. But there are a few clear guidelines in this story that can help all of us navigate through this as you sort through the situations that you might be in. I'll just walk through three real quick and we'll close. Here's the first one. You have to set clear boundaries. You have to set clear boundaries, and they shouldn't keep moving, right? And by the way, the boundaries aren't for the toxic person. The boundaries are for your protection, because to toxic people, they don't have good boundaries. They don't have any boundaries. That's why that's part of the problem. They're going to ignore your boundaries, so you have to set boundaries on you and your involvement with them. It's a great picture of this thing in Saul's story. Saul's angry. He's mad. He says to his guards, I want you to go out, kill this priest named Ahimelech. And I want you to see how the officials respond. And the king's officials were unwilling to raise a hand to strike the priest of the Lord. In other words, they said, no, we're not going to cross that line for this toxic king. And it's really important as a biblical word. There are only two Bible words about boundaries, yes and no. There ain't no maybe. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Girls, you need to hear that. No to the dude you're dating or engaged to means no. Or you walk, because you're not going to change a toxic person, and you're going to get hurt if you don't have some boundaries. And that's one weapon you have. I'm setting my boundaries. If you're being sexually hit on in the office by your boss, you got to set the boundary, and it might cost you your job. But if you don't set the boundary, you enable that to continue, right? Well, it's a high-paying job, and I don't want to lose it. Well, you're going to lose your soul here. There has to be something you walk away from. I told my girls, if you got into any situation that's abusive and toxic like that, you come home to Daddy. You walk. You don't take it for 1 minute. Daddy will pray that God will bless him more and more so I can look after you. But you are not going to take it. You don't have to take it. You tell your girls that too. More girls than guys. That's important. So that's a biblical word. No. Got it? Yet. Yeah. So when it comes to dealing with toxic people, the word no is important as a boundary word. It's not for them. It's for you. And your involvement with them, it's to preserve you. You know, maybe you have a friend who's really manipulative and a liar and a blame sharer. Maybe you need to step away from that friendship. Set a boundary. Say no. If you're dating somebody who keeps lying and keeps being manipulative over and over, time to stop dating that person. Set a boundary. Say no. If you're married and there's an ongoing pattern of deceit, neglect, and abuse, your spouse is also unwilling to listen or change, you may need to step away from that marriage. Psychologists say it takes 8 times for a woman to leave a relationship, a marriage, before she actually separates, and she usually ends up getting murdered by staying in it. See, maybe that marriage needs to end. Not because God doesn't want you to be faithful or love that person, but the best way to love a toxic person is to set clear boundaries, because otherwise you enable that behavior and bring harm to yourself. So how do we set those boundaries? Well, that brings us to the second guideline, really important. Number two, you got to find safe people in your life. Some of you need this, safe people, somebody who listens, somebody who's compassionate, somebody who understands, somebody who doesn't judge or shame because they've been there. And actually, this happens in the story right after the moment where all the priests are basically killed. But one of them gets away. And look at what happens. One of the sons of Ahimelech, named Abiathar, escaped, and he fled to join David. And he told David that Saul had killed his father and killed the priests of the Lord, his whole family. And then David said to Abiathar, he said, that day when Doeg the Edomite was standing there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, which of course he did. So I am unintentionally responsible for the death of your whole family. This is David. He says, so stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who wants to kill you is trying to kill me too. You will be what? You will be safe in this relationship. Because David understands. David's been there, and David's not perfect. He actually owns up to his part. He's like, I got problems in my life too. So it's really important to have some safe people. They're not perfect people. They're just people who get it. And if you don't have a person in mind, that's something you need to get into your life like as soon as possible. Could be somebody in your small group, could be a friend or a mentor or a pastor or a counselor. It could be a support group. But you will never be able to discern what to do next without safe people around you. And then one last guideline, maybe it's the most difficult one. Number one, set clear boundaries. Number two, find safe people to be around you. And number three, you have to give back grace. even in the most toxic situations, we have to learn to give back grace. I'll explain that in a minute. Because everything you will be tempted to respond to, you'll do it like they do it. I'll give an unkind word because you gave me an unkind word. I'll give you a passive-aggressive text for that passive-aggressive text you sent me. I'll no remorse for no remorse. And I can only imagine David, who was this rising star, felt like doing all of that stuff because he was on the run for his life for no good reason of his own. No cause of his own. He was innocent. And there are actually several moments when David could have put a stop to it. There's a moment where he could have taken his sword and taken Saul out. But he didn't. He gave back grace. In fact, one time when David could have done these things to Saul, he said to Saul these words, "May the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you." As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds. So my hand won't touch you. David understands you can't redeem evil with evil. You can't fix toxic with more toxic. And he realizes he's in no position to judge. None of us are. Because guess what? We've got toxic stuff in us too. You've got toxic stuff in your life too. And not only do we have toxic things in our lives, think about it this way. Most toxic people are who they are because somebody was toxic to them. Yeah, that's why he's so angry. Because most toxic people are who they are because someone was toxic to them and somebody was toxic to them and somebody was toxic to them. So who am I supposed to really blame? Who are you able to judge? I once heard someone say this. When you're dealing with somebody who's toxic, don't ask what's the matter with them. Ask what happened to them. What pain are they carrying? What hurt is going on in the story? That's, now by the way, you've still drawn your boundaries. You've still made the separation, okay? But I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm not gonna try to get even with that spouse that I'm now separated from, or that boss, or that person who tried to hurt me or control me or dominate me. I'm going to leave that to God. That's why David said, "My hand will not touch you." And he could have. In other words, I'm not going to try to get even. I'm not even going to try to get back at you, Saul. I'm going to let God avenge me of the wrongs you've done. And by the way, how did God avenge the wrongs we've done? Well, it's amazing, actually. He didn't attack or condemn. He came into the world in the person of Jesus. And then something remarkably amazing happened, right? All of these toxic people got really close to Jesus. And guess what happened? They didn't change him one bit. He stayed close. He drew in. And when he came close, this is Jesus now, to a toxic person, he would pour into them, pray for them, love them, believe in them, redeem them. And guess what happened? Well, redemption happened. You didn't get close to him and cause that. Only Jesus could change him, right? Grace happens. And if you don't believe me, guess what? There's another Saul in the Bible in the New Testament. He's a guy who was just as angry, just as mean, just as powerful, just as toxic, and nobody thought he could change. And Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, knocked him to the ground and blinded him and gave him what? Grace. Because Jesus is the only person who knows how to deal with that toxic person. Forget even trying, right? And by the way, that's what he's done for each of us, isn't it? We're here, I'm here, not because I've managed to avoid toxic behaviors. I'm here because Jesus is the person who dealt with the toxic part of me and the toxic part of you. And that's what the power of the cross is pretty much all about. Amen. It can redeem even the most toxic person, which is why we have to entrust those people to God by setting clear boundaries, finding safe people, and giving back grace, knowing it's not my job to change them. It's Jesus' job. Our job is to love people, even toxic people, and let God do the rest. It's like receiving communion. It's the act of taking bread and juice as a sign, a reminder of what Jesus did for toxic people on the cross. When it comes to toxic people, you can either try to crucify them or you can remember somebody already has been crucified for them. And that's what matters most. So how about bowing your head? as we pray together. So Jesus, we come before you now, toxic people that we are, with toxic relationships in toxic situations. We can feel pain and struggle. We can feel unstable. We don't know what to do next. So we come to you right now, just before your cross, just before the very power of your redemption, the grace, the only thing that can transform us from the inside out, that can make all of those toxins detox from our lives and make us clean again. Remind us of what you did for us on that cross and how your grace can make us new again. And then help us, Jesus, as we go out into the world this week. Help us set those boundaries. Help us find safe people. Help us not think we can change them, but give them up to the Lord. Give back grace, because we're not in charge of changing them, but because you still can, we lift them up to you. Help us know you still have the power to change everything for anyone today, starting with us. With our heads still bowed, maybe you're here, and maybe some of this is hitting home in your life. Maybe you've tried to change, you can't change. You've tried self-rehabilitation, but it just hasn't worked. Only Jesus can transform you. Only Jesus. You can do crystals, you can burn incense, you can chant, you can do all that, but only God can change a human heart. That's Jesus. And if you've got these toxins in you, or they're working in you, listen, Jesus knows it, knows how to deal with it, can save you and deliver you. But you have to ask him. You have to receive him. And you can pray this simple prayer. You can say, Jesus, this morning, you're talking to me. I give you my life. Jesus, right now, I give you my toxic-filled life. Transform me. Change my heart and nature. Lord, there's no power on earth that can do it but you. I give my life to you right now. Save me. Deliver me. Heal me. Make me whole. Make me new, Jesus. With our heads bowed, if that's you, nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come to you. Would you just let me know I can pray for you? Just slip a hand up, take it down, just like that. I wouldn't know anyway. God bless you. God bless you. Upstairs, God bless you. In the back, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, bring new life, a new future, new heart, a new nature to my friends who are struggling with some of that toxic behavior. Give them grace. Give them mercy. Lord Jesus, we fall upon you as our power. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Change the human heart. Help the rest of us who may be in those situations to set a boundary, get with self people, separate ourselves from the person we can't change, and help us extend grace by committing those people to you as the only one who could change them. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the power of God unto salvation to make us and make all things new. Bless my friends today as they embark on a new beginning and a new future, as they submit themselves to you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe and share it with a friend. Follow me by visiting the links in the description. I'm praying today that God richly blesses you this entire week.